I used to have a really good scary laugh. I think growing up in a funeral home without any friends allowed me a lot of spare time to practice my scary laugh. How's yours? What's in your ear?
My ear.
You look like Frankenstein with the things in your ear instead of your neck.
Thank you.
What are those?
They're my proper earphones that allow me not to hear anything but you. Because you're always complaining about my crappy earphones.
Yeah, because you... Yeah. Good talk. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Drew Marshall Show. We are Facebook live streaming. If you want to see what Johnny Wonder looks like without his pole, he's right here in the studio. Johnny Wonder has been on the show one other time. He has hooked us up with some scary people. Because he has a fascination with the dark side. Let me get to his bio here, which is so intrinsically complicated. Joining TPSC in 2014 as Vice President of Development, that stands for Traveling Picture Show Company, Johnny quickly built a slate of actionable projects from the ground up and helped amass a sizable portfolio of sought-after content. TPSC has projects in development with Sony, Cross Creek, and other such production companies.
Johnny, kill, kill.
A huge fan of the horror genre, Johnny is currently developing horror projects in both the film and television spaces. Boundlessly energetic, he never sits still for long and is a formidable competitor on the golf courts, and he likes long walks on the beach and pina coladas.
And getting cold in the rain.
Dude, how are you?
I'm good. That bio, just for the folks at home, that bio is the literally ripped off of the website for our company website, and it says nothing about...
Other important things?
Nothing. Like, literally, it's just a thing. It's even uncomfortable to hear you read it. It's actually more uncomfortable to hear you read it.
Turn around and face me, will you? I want that angle a little better. There we go. All right. I watched you do a podcast with three guys, Larry, Curly, and Mo, I think out of their mom's basement or something.
Okay.
You work out of the same studio or something there? Do you do some kind of...
Yeah. There's the Pacific Junction Hotel in Toronto. There's a podcast studio there.
Huh.
So the guys that do Spooked run their podcast out of that studio, and I do my golf show out of that studio.
Okay.
So, you know, help people pass, and especially because it's literally a bar. It's a fishbowl bar.
What's the correlation between the horror genre and golf?
I guess I'd have to tell my story a little bit to really...
Yeah, but don't take too long, Frank. This story just goes on and on.
It does really go... let me think.
What's your story?
Quickly from Seattle, ended up getting into the film business at 33 with my own resistance. I was basically on a dare because the girlfriend that I was with at the time basically called me an a-hole and said, "What you're doing is not, you're not happy.
No.
So go find something else to do." So at 33, you know, kind of stupid and decided to get in the film business as like an unpaid assistant and just kind of work my way up, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Which brings me to, you know, a couple years ago, I moved to Toronto.
Because of another girl or the same girl?
Another girl. The one that was going to last, that will last forever. But we have a beautiful baby boy. His name's Severiano. I have an older five-year-old. His name's Augustus. So that brings me here. But how golf and how it all crosses bear. I am also the director of original content for a golf website called Golf WRX. So golf would be like the one thing in my life that sort of took me from working for my old man and living in a, you know, just a normal house in a normal neighborhood close to my parents.
What was the job of the old man?
Just working, running a property management company, selling real estate, something. But I got good at golf, and it spun me off and got me to California.
So, like, mob-related housing.
Exactly. Union. Teamsters.
Okay, I got it.
Yeah.
What are they called? Dive? No. What are you, a slumlord?
Sort of. Really polished up one. But, yeah, he's a slumlord. So I would have been a slumlord junior. But I'm a filmmaker.
Who were the first weird people that you hooked me up with?
The first, you met the Conjure Chest.
Yes, that lady.
Woman. Well, she's a Harvard professor. Make no mistake, she's brilliant. But her story, her family history would lead you to believe that there's no path to Harvard from how she sort of grew up.
Yeah.
So
there's a chest. When we say chest, we mean furniture.
Yep.
That has some spookiness in it.
Yes.
wherever it goes, spookiness follows.
People die.
Jeez. And now she's got a... Do they not have, like, a hotel based around this thing?
No,
now?
That's another person I introduced man. You to.
Who's that?
That is... her name's Rosie. She owns a hotel called the Glen Tavern Inn, which is in Santa Paula, California.
Right.
And super, super haunted hotel. All these properties that we're talking about right now have been on, like, Paranormal Activity. If you just type in YouTube, you'll see that's been on one of the ghost shows.
Yeah.
But that hotel, there was a huge flood in, like, the 1930s or 40s, and it was literally washed through this town. And the hotel was where a lot of the bodies ended up, like, literally in the trees. And they ended up, you know, shutting the hotel down and bringing all the deceased.
Bring out your dead.
Yeah, and put them in the hotel.
Okay.
That's haunted.
There were some paranormal people that you hooked me up with, too. Like, paranormal experts.
Oh, Chris, what's his name?
Yeah. Not Langan.
No, that's another guy. What's the guy's name?
I don't know.
The guy that's like the exorcist.
Yes.
I can't remember.
It'll
his name.
Come to you.
Chris something.
Father, what's his name?
Yeah. His story's crazy. He's messing with some other
What
other
is
stuff.
The most horrific thing you have witnessed and maybe experienced? And I separate those two because when you see it, it could be different than just feeling it. You know what I mean?
I think feeling it's actually scarier than actually seeing something, seeing the boogeyman.
Really?
I think feeling him there and not being able to really see him is actually spookier to me.
Yeah.
So the scariest moment I've ever had in my life was a night terror that I had. I'll make it really quick.
A night, like, did you pee the bed kind of thing?
No, I woke up. I should have, but I woke up. Hot spots for me, and I told this on the Spook Show. Hot spots for me was always when I woke up in the middle of the night, couldn't get back to sleep, and then I would go back to sleep at like 6 a.m. or 6:30. I always had weird occurrences between 6:30 and whenever I woke up. I always have vivid dreams or whatever. So I'm living in Newport Beach in California. 7 o'clock, I've been asleep for like 45 minutes. In my dream, I'm in the house that I'm living in my bedroom, wide awake, and I'm frozen. I'm paralyzed. I can't move. And next to my bed, I hear scratching, like a dog scratching. But I don't hear like, I don't hear that. I hear like something's literally climbing up out of a well trying to get to the side of my bed. So I'm sitting there and I can't move. But in my dream, I'm screaming to my roommate, Preston, whose bedroom is across the way. And I'm going, Preston, as loud as I possibly can in my dream. Mm. And the whole time I can't look up. So my eyes won't let me move my head up to see what's up at the ceiling, but I could feel something right on top of me, right? Just couldn't move. Luckily, Preston walks by, happened to be going to take a leak, and my door was never open, and he actually, like, looked in my room to see what was going on, because my door was never open.
It still chokes you up today.
Well, I was choking on whatever lunch I just had, but But he comes into the room and actually wakes me up. I could see him walking up to me, waking me up.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, like, where's the dog? Like, there's a dog in here. There's something in here that was growling and scratching inside of my
head. Who let the dog out?
Who let the dogs out? There could have been multiple dogs. But he goes, he's like, there's no dog here. One, two, I walked in here. Your eyes were wide open. You weren't blinking. And you were whispering my name. And I was like, I was screaming your name. He's like, no, I could barely make out that you were calling my name.
Do you have a history of mental illness in your family? Happened there? Where'd you go?
That's because it's such a vague. It's such. I could say most people are mentally ill. I would say most people are either extremely spiritually sick or mentally ill in some way, shape,
Drew
or form.
Marshall.
So it's
Drew Marshall.
It's hard. Like when I hear that term, people are like, "Do you have mental illness?" I'm like, "There's like classified general mental illness. Like we had the crazy kid in our family type thing, and then there's actual people that are." Just not turned on yet.
Yeah. But aren't night terrors kind of like a documented thing, though?
Yeah, but being able to discuss it, like I feel like I have night terrors. I know what they are. I don't take those moments in time and look at
them.
Do
you still have them?
I've had them, but not like that. Not like that one.
Do you get scared dreams?
No.
You sleep like a stoned mason.
No, I do not.
No?
Do you know what they are? They're basically your body wakes up before your brain does. So your
That's every show.
That's a Monday afternoon.
Yeah.
But that's what they say that they are. They're like literally your body wakes up, your brain hasn't caught up yet.
Do you remember the person I gave you? Because if you haven't chased this lady down and done this story, dude, or locked it in.
Is that the lady that was part of the the cult?
Yes.
I have not chased her down
Tried to escape. They caught her in the woods. They brought her back. They put her hand on a wooden table. They jammed a knife through her hand to stick it into the woods. She couldn't go anywhere.
Right.
Lopped off two fingers with wire cutters and then hacked her arm off with a machete. That lady.
I read her story. But the only problem with this, that story is not a problem, is like, how do you make a movie out of that? How do you...
Are you kidding? How many movies have you seen that are worser than that?
I know, but they're...
Real word.
Like, when I... Worser. When you're looking at... Like, everybody thinks that... Like, I have multiple ideas. Like, oh my God, that's a movie.
Yeah.
And then I get with a writer, the guy's like, there's no...
There's no arc.
There's nothing there. Like, it's awesome. It's a really cool moment in time. There's no movie there.
This group started as a Jesus group, a Christian, what do they call them, Seventh-day Adventist, and they were all about getting all vegetarian and eating clean and getting off the smokes and
right.
the booze and living in the bush, and then it went to burning your ID cards because, you know, you're not, and then it went to one guy controlling things.
Right.
And then they were selling their wares in this little town because they were living in a hunt camp surrounded by, there was no direct access to this property,
right.
And then it goes to...
People getting their heads cut
yes!
off. Yes! Okay, so this is a question I have. This is like supposed to be... This is a spiritual show. It's
yeah,
a God
did
show.
You say supposed to be?
No.
Yeah, I think you did. I think you went to say supposed to be.
Well, it's a different show than when I first met you. This show was not the quest for God. It was sort of like something else. Like, the show was the Drew Marshall Show talking to people, but you weren't quite on your path yet.
Really?
Nah. When okay. I met you, you were not. You were still kind of like adjacent. You weren't like fully invested in the search for God.
Wait, are you saying I'm not invested in the search for God?
You are now.
Oh, I wasn't
when
then?
I first talked to you, you're like, I don't know. I got a radio show. When I first met you.
When you first met me, what, I was like a super Jesus guy?
No, you were not a super Jesus guy. You were not on the Jesus
train. But you're saying I am now.
You are now.
How do you say that?
Because I've listened to you talk. Like, you seem to be more of a believer or more walking down that road than you ever have.
Interesting.
I agree.
I would say that our Christian listeners of the Joy 1250 would disagree with you.
But that's because those are Christian listeners. Like, just because you believe you're walking down the Jesus path does not make you a Christian, in my opinion. It makes you somebody that thinks that Jesus may have been onto something.
Ooh, Jesus may have been onto something.
So
anyway, what's your point?
So my point is this, is like, why does it always fascinates me when I hear about these cults and these things. And
yeah.
Why does it always have to be, okay, I believe in God and I believe in Jesus, and now I'm going to be vegetarian and I'm going to put down booze and I'm going to put down this and I'm going to put down that and I'm going to isolate myself, because it's like, well, what?
Well, doesn't always.
Most
it's
of
a little
the
extreme.
Time, when you hear the extreme parts of that, I always laugh at that and just go like, you'd said something interesting when you were talking to Craig.
Yeah.
About how these ideas and, you know, when people go, it's the same narratives over and over. They never work.
Yeah.
But people continue to do them anyway.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think about that all the time. It's like the guy that wants to rule the world. It's like, you take Trump, for example. Like, I don't know what your thoughts are on Trump
is.
Or whatever. But it's like, I'm going to be the guy at the top of the mountain. I'm going to rule the world.
Yeah.
That narrative's never played out. It's never worked.
No.
It always falls apart.
No.
So what makes you think that you're going to be the guy?
When it comes to the teachings of Jesus, that would be the opposite. Because mm-hmm. Jesus said, now I'm going to ask Chris Langan about this too.
Yeah.
Because his thinking, and by the way, a little bit later on the show is Chris Langan. He's basically the smartest guy in the universe.
Another guy I'm making a movie about.
Yeah. So I'm going to say, look, if the Jesus thing is all about, hey, listen, it's not going to be the way you think it is. The greatest will be the least, and the least will be the greatest.
You want to hear the best?
The meek shall inherit the earth.
So most people hear that, and they hear meek. They go, oh, the weak will inherit the earth. The humble will.
Yeah.
No, that's not what that means. So the greatest Jesus example that I've ever heard in my life that literally shook me to my core.
Was when you first met me?
Was one not when I first met you.
Oh.
That was the second time.
It's a different kind of shaking.
But there's a preacher in Los Angeles, of all places, and he was giving this sermon, and it was around Easter, and he was talking about how the donkey ruins everything for everybody. The donkey. And I was like, what the hell is this guy going to talk about? Like, okay, I'll give you 20 minutes. So I start listening to this guy, and he goes, Jesus is going into Jerusalem for like his big... You know, F all, I'm coming home. The king is arriving. And everybody's in the city just, you know, bursting with excitement. Our king is coming to with rage and fury, and he's going to come in and fix our lives.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He knows that. So it's like going to the Boston Red Sox win the World Series. They're going to walk through the streets of Boston like on fire because another crowd's on fire. Okay. So all this excitement, it's like right out of a Ridley Scott movie. It's like, it's just bursting with excitement. So this guy, Jesus Christ, decides that walking in on a big stallion horse probably isn't the message that he wants to send, because
he knows the people want him to ride in on a
stallion.
They expect Jesus to come in and be the political Messiah.
So this guy goes, and people are literally, I guess the stories go that he was there trying to get him, like, well, we found a stallion, or we found this prized horse, we found this white majestic creature.
Yeah.
And literally he goes, I want that donkey. And it wasn't even it was like a baby donkey. It was a tiny little limp one. So literally of all the expectations, and it goes back to the expectations of what we think our leaders or our gods need to be.
Ooh, nice. Yes, it does.
Okay. So he's like, I know what they want from me, but that's not what this is. That's not what God is. That's not how harmony works. Yeah. That's not what this is. So he literally rides in on a donkey.
Yeah, and ruins it all.
And
ruins the whole thing. Yeah.
And what he's trying to say is, like, I'm going to be here in the trenches with you shoulder to shoulder, because that's what God is going to do. So, I thought that was fascinating.
Yeah, I know you're American. Have you heard of the CRTC? No.
No.
That's the government body that regulates broadcasting.
For the F word, so yes. You're going to have to beep out. Yeah, that's why I went. Like, I tried to beep myself out.
Sorry, folks. You know, sometimes it happens. So moving along.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, what was your point behind all that?
People's perception of God. Like, you talk about God and like what Chris is going to talk about,
right,
which is trying to find him. And I think that, you know, ultimately anything that's it comes down to anything that's run through the human being computer, in my opinion, when it comes to discussing God and how the world works, it's going to be flawed.
Oh,
98% of it's wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The moment you've got, the moment you think you've got your God figured out is the moment you should realize that you've screwed it up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In the studio with Johnny Wonder. Johnny's here for the entire duration of the show. Sounds like a wrestling match, a grudge match. Johnny Wonder, what I want to know is the love story. I'm always interested in people's love stories. How did you and the woman find each other? Kristen Mingle?
J-Date. we both hacked into J-Date. And,
hacked into J-Date.
I found a nice Christian girl on J-Date.
Yeah.
I used to act back in the day. I did commercials and stuff like that. And my theatrical agent was her theatrical agent. And he had been trying to set us up for years, but we were never single at the same time.
Right.
So she had just had a baby boy, Augustus, who's my 5-year-old, with another guy.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, fell apart as things, you know, sometimes do.
Sometimes.
And she was a single mom just trying to make it all happen. And she was in L.A. just visiting some friends with her new baby boy. And my agent said, hey, she's in town. You should meet her. And oddly enough, she's 20 minutes younger than I am. We were both born on the same day.
Come on.
And our son, Sevi, our new son, our 2-year-old, was due on our 40th birthday and came out the day after. So theoretically, if he would have come out like on that day, Chris said it's in the billions. Like the odds of that happening, your son coming out on the mom and dad's birthday, especially the 40th one's like in the billions. You'd have been on Good Morning America.
My daughter was born the same day that I was born. My son was born the same night my mom died. So stopped having kids because the odds of something else going down was weird. You know what I mean?
Next one could have been Jesus part two.
Could have been.
I doubt it.
I highly doubt it as well.